So one of the recurring themes of Advent, and really a recurring theme of the Gospels and even of the entire Bible itself, is that God shows up in unexpected places, in unexpected ways. The rich and powerful do not channel divine power. And in fact, they are often the ones scripture tells us that are farthest from God. Religious leaders certainly do not have a monopoly on God either, but God works through the humble, those who seek love and justice, those who open their hearts with love and compassion to the marginalized and the oppressed. People like Elizabeth, unexpected because she was thought to be too old. People like Mary, unexpected because she was a poor girl from a poor village. People like Jesus, who is starting life as a nobody, a vulnerable baby born in a stable, a place where animals were normally kept. And the Bible is full of stories of everyday, ordinary people called by God, people like you and me. Some were called to do ordinary things. Some were called to daunting paths. And God walked with all of them. And God walks with us too. And I think that's also one of the lessons of Advent, preparing ourselves to walk with God. We talk in Advent about waiting expectantly, waiting for God's love to be born into the world in Jesus. But this is not a passive waiting. We aren't sitting idly waiting for God to swoop in to save the world. As John the Baptist preached, this is an active waiting. This is preparing the way, preparing our hearts. Because God's love will be born within us this Christmas. And so we're asked to open our hearts. We are being called to walk with God, hand in hand, to prepare the way. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about preparing the way, about gathering the tools for building God's kingdom of justice. And we've been doing that. We've been talking about the gifts that Jesus brings. And these are also some of the kingdom-building tools that we need. Tools we need to thrive in a chaotic world. Tools we need to heal a broken world. And it kind of began with Thanksgiving when we talked about gratitude. Gratitude is a tool of resistance to oppression. Gratitude for life. Gratitude for each other. Gratitude proclaims that we refuse to give in to despair. And then there are the candles that we light each week during Advent. The candle for hope. Hope is needed to build God's kingdom. Without hope, there's no vision for the future. Hope is the faith and the trust in God's promise of a better way. And the candle for peace, a commitment to peace and to nonviolence, is a rejection of the values of a world that would have us turn to violence in pursuit of wealth and power. Peace proclaims respect for the dignity of every person, every child of God. And the candle for joy. Joy is a sustaining belief in the goodness of life. Joy is a deep inner contentment that comes from a profound unitive connection with God and with each other and with creation. And today we light the candle for love, perhaps the greatest kingdom-building tool. And I think it's the greatest because it's the root of everything else. That's what Jesus taught us. Jesus said that all of God's desires for us, all of God's way, is built on the principle of love. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And of course, we know love is more than an emotion. It's not the gooey, starry-eyed romance of sweethearts. As we've talked about many times, divine love is an action. It seeks justice for the marginalized and the oppressed. Love is kind. Love is compassionate. Love is empathetic, in deed as well as in thought and in word. Love is the thing that connects us all to each other and to creation, that makes us one in God. Love also forms the roots that nurture all of those other kingdom-building gifts. Gratitude, hope, peace, and joy are all possible when we come to know that we are love, when we come to know that we are beings of love, when we put our trust in God's love and let that love flow from us to others. And if we didn't have that love, I think finding the gratitude and the hope and the peace and the joy would be difficult. And like we already talked about, I think one way that love nurtures these gifts is drawing from unexpected places. The fact that love defies boundaries, love defies the walls that we might be tempted to build, helps nurture these gifts. Because we might be tempted to say, oh, that person isn't capable of doing that, or I can't do that. But the fact that love can and does come from anywhere and everywhere often reveals to us that God has other ideas about what is possible. And that's the message from the prophet Micah. Nobody, Micah says, would expect much to come from that village of Bethlehem, that small little village. But Micah says a great ruler is going to be born there. And they're going to be known by peace, not by violence. God has a habit of defying our expectations. I can think of lots of times in my life when I didn't think I was necessarily going to be the right person to do something. I certainly never really saw myself becoming a minister or a preacher. And yet, life circumstances seem to conspire to lead me to doing that thing. I'm still not sure I'm a very good poet, and yet I like doing it, and at least a few people seem to like what I write. And so I keep doing it. I think when we hear a call, maybe when we have an urge to try something, maybe we should try it and see what God does with it. Even or especially if it's unexpected or unwanted. Maybe that's when we really need to try it and see if there's something there. Maybe we'll discover something profound about ourselves. I know in my life, I would count becoming a minister or coming out as those kinds of profound self-discovery experiences. And they only happened by taking leaps of trust. And other times we might try something new and wonder, well, that didn't seem to go very well. I wonder if that was even worth the effort. I wondered that about some of the projects that I've tried. But I think all we can do is respond to God's call to the best of our abilities. We can't really control the outcomes. That's part of trusting God as well. Elizabeth says in our gospel reading today that blessed is the one who trusts in God, and what God said would be accomplished. God made Mary a promise of what Jesus would someday become 30 years down the road. When we respond to God's call to walk the way of love, we might not see the effects of what we do, but we're asked to put our trust in God's love. And I think it can be a little easier to trust that God's love will show up in unexpected ways in our lives If we can see it showing up in those around us, it's often easier to see it in someone else's life than it is to see it in our own life. Kind of like Mary and Elizabeth looked to each other. Mary saw what God was doing in Elizabeth's life. Elizabeth saw what God was doing in Mary's life. And they felt support and comfort in that. And we can think about people in our own lives. Has someone been a blessing to us? Maybe in an unexpected way. Maybe through an act of kindness that we weren't expecting. We might watch for unexpected blessings over the next few weeks. Maybe we've been missing those kinds of things in our lives. They're there, we're just not used to seeing them. And once we begin to see how love and kindness and compassion show up in unexpected ways and places, I think it can lead us to new perspectives, perhaps to new ways of thinking and approaching problems. Maybe we'll listen to opinions from people we would have dismissed previously. Maybe we'll start trusting God more when we find ourselves in times of trouble, experiencing fear and anxiety less. Maybe we'll start trusting God more and taking steps out in new directions. And then I think love also nurtures those kingdom-building gifts through love's constancy. Love is an eternal source. It's a well that doesn't run dry, which means love is not only available in the good times. Love is available whenever it's needed. Mary talks of God's mercy reaching from age to age. And what is mercy but God's compassion and unconditional love? It's God's love that is there when the world is in turmoil. It's God's love that has strengthened God's people when they're threatened. It's God's love that seeks justice for the oppressed, food for the hungry, equity for the poor. And we can be confident in putting our trust in God's love because we know it's eternal. We know it's there. Because it's always working for our healing and salvation that we might have whole lives as the people God created us to be. God's love is dependable. If there's anything in this universe that doesn't change, it's the availability of God's love. A third way that love nurtures is through its contagious nature. Love is catchy. When we're around loving people, we are more likely to be more loving ourselves and more grateful and more hopeful and more peaceful and more joyful. Jesus didn't use metaphors like seeds and yeast to describe the kingdom of God by accident. It was because the kingdom wants to grow and spread. It's because people want and need what God has to offer. People want and need to be loved. And God is asking us to walk with God, to offer the way of love in the world. And maybe we'll find that unexpected, but God works in unexpected ways. And we might not heal the world tomorrow. We probably won't heal the world tomorrow. But we might plant the seed of healing in one person, in ourselves, perhaps. And that might be just what God needs in this moment, in this chaotic and troubled world. To what might God give birth in the coming days and months and years if we put our trust in God's love? That most powerful tool of justice and healing in this moment. If we, like Mary, let God's light magnify our souls and use our lives as beacons of healing and love in the world. God's love is coming. The Christ is about to be born into the world again. and always. Amen.